Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, fellas, I'm going to warm up the ladies tonight for you to take home.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Okay, this is very exciting. We were recording this episode on Saturday morning, and college game day is about to start. I'm very excited about this. This is why college football exists in my mind, just to watch college game day.
Really?
So I'm very excited. Do okay. I sound excited? Look how much energy I have.
Yeah, like you Greg really Cody. Don't.
We have our party.
You sound like you had a night.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
I think it's just because I'm using a different microphone. I didn't have a night. I had a nice normal set Friday night, actually.
What's a normal Friday night?
Just, you know, bring in the kid over to a friend's house and the parents have a few cocktails.
Okay.
And let the kids run around and then come back home.
Okay. I want to talk a minute about, since you brought it up, Miami Hurricanes, the real Miami Hurricanes, open the season this coming week.
What does that mean? What's the fake Miami?
The fake Miami is the Miami of Ohio Red Hawks, which used to be the Redskins before they got embarrassed about the nickname, even before the Washington football team did. So now they're the Red Hawks. But here's my interesting fact. This is not a three facts, Jack. This is a one fact, Jack, because it concerns Miami of Ohio. And I'm not sure if I even knew this until doing a little research. There are 21 Miamis in the world, including 9 in the U.S., but one of those 9 Miamis in the U.S. is not Miami, Ohio. That's not the name of the city.
Wow.
They actually play in Oxford, Ohio, and the name Miami, Ohio Redhawks comes after the Indian tribe, the Miami tribe, which is actually originated as the Miami, M-Y-A-A-M-I-A. So that's how the Miami of Ohio team got its name. How about that? Now, here's another fact. I was at these teams, the two Miamis only played one other time in their history.
This feels a lot like Three Facts Morgan.
No, it's not. We'll get to that later. This is one fact, Greg. This is not even one fact.
But you just said a fact, and then you're like, here's another fact.
I know, that's true. But this is 1A and 1B. 1B is the only other time the two Miamis played was 1987, and Greg Cody was there because he covered the team full-time at that time. And those were glory days for UM, and they won that game 54-3. And the rematch this coming week is indicative of how far the U has fallen, because they're favored by a fairly modest 17 points against a MAC team, a Mid-American Conference team. So that's really indicative of how far they've fallen. So that kind of thing. That's my Miami Hurricane preview, the entirety of it. How about that?
About that, I'm glad that you informed our listeners what MAC stood for.
Very indicative.
Indicative of what?
Indicking it.
Just okay. Big fan of that word.
Are you?
It is a good one. I like it.
Dad, I feel like you have a lot that you want to get to today.
I do.
I mean, you just got back from dancing on the ceiling with both Lionel Richie and Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, that was a great show, by the way. And
it couldn't have been that great.
You know what? I went into it thinking the same thing. Because these are two legacy acts, which is a great way of saying has-beens, in my opinion.
Yeah.
They're legacy acts. All the oldies are, including my hero Elton John. It's a legacy act. They all sing 40-year-old songs. I didn't know that they could sell out this arena. This is where the Panthers play, the Florida Panthers play. It's a big arena, almost 20,000 people.
I feel like it's about a normal-sized arena.
It's bigger than a lot. But the point is, it was not just a pretty good crowd. It was packed. Every seat was packed. And it was almost like two main co-headliners, because Earth, Wind, and Fire played first, but they played for well over an hour, like an hour and 15 minutes. They were great. Philip Bailey, my good friend, Philip Bailey, who I've actually met once.
Did he call you out? Like, hey, Greg from Tahoe. Hello.
Yeah, I tried getting his attention, but I couldn't. But You know,
should we play the clip of when he joined us?
Oh, I want to. Yeah.
Let's hit that.
All right.
Let's take a trip down memory lane in Greg Cody's Wayback Machine.
Back in it.
The Greg Cody Show podcast loves music, and I'm going to ask you to just sing 10 seconds of something, just anything. Just favor us with a little snippet.
All right. Come on, Valerie. Body, say, do you remember? Body, that's in September. Body, never was a cloudy day.
What a classic moment.
I like the idea of them not taking down the ice for this concert. And so it's like Richie on Ice, and the stage slides or moves around the arena as the vibrations of the music carry it wherever it goes.
Okay.
Earth, Wind, Fire, and Ice.
All right. Earth, Wind, and Fire, by the way, has such an ensemble. It must cost them a mint just to produce a show, because there had to be
what?
There had to be 15 musicians on stage. No women, by the way.
What do you think the pie chart is on, like, the pay for that band?
There's three original members of Earth, Wind, and Fire. That band has suffered a lot of deaths just in the past few years. There's three original members, including our man, Philip Bailey. The two other originals include the bass player and a backup vocalist who's, like, barely there.
So where do you think those three originals get what percentage of the total pie?
I would think they get more. And then I would think
Dad. Thanks. It'd be weird if they got less than the new people.
How the hell do I know?
I'm asking you to guess.
I would think they get 20% each.
Right. So 60. So they get 60% of the pie.
Yeah. And I would think the others share that. And Philip Bailey's son, by the way, is in the band, which I had no idea about.
Yeah, but I'm sure he works hard.
But they kicked ass. They had a funky sound, slapping dirty bass. It was great. It really was.
Slapping dirty bass is the funniest thing I've heard you say in a long time.
Thank you. Is that actually a phrase in music? I have no idea.
I've never heard slapping the dirty bass.
It's okay, like, I just...
You really didn't know what to say there.
I mean, you know, I made up a phrase, you know, patent pending. Lionel Richie comes on, and I was a little disappointed by... He's very schmaltzy, this guy. Lionel Richie, he talks too much.
I know, it's like he's got that American Idol thing going on. Like, yeah. It's just like, you don't have to be the most charming guy in the room.
Yeah, he talks too much, and his humor, he's 74 years old, which I didn't know. I thought he was like my age. He's a little older, and his humor is old-timey. His humor is like, hey, fellas, I'm gonna warm up the ladies tonight for you to take home. You know, that seriously, that type of humor.
Wow.
And Lionel Richie also spends an inordinate amount of time in his lyrics saying nonsensical things like, yeah.
Exactly what you do when you're singing?
Right, exactly. That's right.
So he's the Greg Cody of singing.
Oh, man.
That it's something I have no interest in, but the audience, I can just hear the follow-up being like, the audience wants a follow-up on this. So did he warm you up for after the concert?
Yeah, he did. No, he put on a good show.
No, you know, meant sexually.
Yeah, yeah. No, I meant that
too.
All
right, Dad. Jesus, I was kidding. And you know it, baby, and you know it. God, I can't believe I asked for that.
Hey, Graceland. That. Hey, how you doing?
Perfect timing.
Another thing Lionel Richie does a lot is go, say what?
Dad, you do all that stuff.
This is Greg Cody. Holy crap.
So he is you.
He is me.
Did he burp and say Brad?
He did. As a matter of fact, right in the middle of a song. It was unbelievable.
Chris, have you seen, I know Greg hasn't. Have you seen A Mighty Wind?
No.
It's an old Christopher Guest movie from like 20 years ago.
What movie?
Oh, A Mighty Wind.
No.
So Fred Willard, he plays a character who, whatever his story arc is, He plays a character, and of course they're all ad-libbing because everything is just made up. But his whole thing was making catchphrases.
Right.
As you know, back in 1970, I start on a series called What Happened? And every time something would go wrong, I would look at the camera and say, hey, what happened?
It is the Greg Cody formula, like catchphrases. Wow. It is Greg Cody in a nutshell.
Should I sue him? It sounds like I have litigation potential.
I knew him before I knew you, so I don't know.
Okay.
Which came first.
All right.
Hey, Graceland.
Hi.
Hey, Graceland.
Kindergartner, first week of kindergarten in the book.
Yeah, how about that? Hey, Graceland, you are you're the Greg Cody Show kindergarten correspondent, and I would like you to report, how did you like your first week of kindergarten?
Good.
All Would right. you care to elaborate?
Tell him your favorite part.
My favorite part was after
care. When school is over? So when school is over?
Tell him about the tell him about the bully. Don't say his name, but tell him.
A bully in kindergarten?
You already said the bully.
I didn't say his name. Tell him what happened. What did he do?
He hits people. He punches people.
And he doesn't listen?
What? Wow. We got to take care of that kid. Okay, Grayson, I want you to take care of that bully for me. And write his name. Write his name on a scrap of paper and give it to me. Okay.
You can say his name. We'll just leave it.
Why am I gonna say his name?
All right. Yeah, you're right. You know what? Let's not give him the pub.
Yeah, really. That's what he's. That's what bullies look for. Bullies want to be on the Greg Cody Show podcast. That's their whole method of operation. The MOO.
Moo.
Moo. All right, Grayson. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Nice talking to you. That was special Bye. Correspondent, kindergarten correspondent, Grayson Cody.
I had a weird experience this week at school. Penny had her curriculum night.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of things I noticed. It was funny. I saw my son jump up to try to touch the door frame. And that's something we always did. And so did it with him just for old time's sake. That was fun.
Yeah.
But do you have to jump? You don't have to jump, right? Yeah, you're tall.
But I don't have to, but I did just, you know, because.
Oh, would I have to jump? I'm looking at the door right now.
All right, let's go. Turn the camera. Let's go.
There you go, Greg. Right there. Right there. Right there. Be sure to open the door before you.
All right, let's see. Open it.
Open it and jump it. To slap it.
Open it.
Ugh.
Wow, what a
Did not deliver on the video I wanted.
The worst payoff in the history of podcasting.
I dominated that door. I didn't even have to get on my tippy toes.
You're supposed to still jump.
Greg Cody 1, door 0.
No, so I went to use the restroom, and this is junior high, and I went to use the restroom, and it was just weird. This, not visceral is not the right word, but just like this first like knee-jerk reaction that my brain had was like, no cigarette smoke. Because when I would walk into my middle school and high school bathrooms, that's what you would smell, was cigarettes, because kids would sneak in there, would run in there to try
in
to sneak
middle school?
Oh, dude, I grew up in North Carolina. Like, you get extra credit for supporting the local economy if you smoke. And so...
I don't remember this. I don't remember cigarettes in middle school.
I do.
Yeah. Well, Greg, back in your day, they had smoking sections at the school for the students, right?
No way.
No.
Oh, wow. My mom did.
That's a thing, though? That happened at one point?
Oh, yeah. Well, they even wrote it into Freaks and Geeks, which was based in 1980. Like, they had a smoker's section for the students.
No, my high school did not sanction smoking like that, but they did, you did smell smoke in the bathroom.
Yeah, smoking in the boys' room. That's, you know,
I would think marijuana. I mean, I guess cigarettes were bigger back then.
Well, you're not going to get arrested for smoking cigarettes, so, you know.
That's true. Yeah. Well, I would think a kid would.
No. You're not going to get arrested for having the cigarettes. A kid would they get in trouble at school, but they aren't going to get arrested for that.
Right.
And I don't even think they get arrested for buying underage. It's more for the person selling, but who knows? Mm. But yeah, it was interesting. Like, I walked in, and that was the first thing I thought of. It was the first time I've been in a middle school restroom since probably middle school. And yeah, it was weird. It was just weird that's where my brain went.
The I saw somebody using a vape the other day, and I remarked how dumb people look using a vape, in my opinion. Nothing against vapes. Feel free. But
is that your next back in my day on bring back smoking?
Well, it occurred to me that you go days now, at least I do, you go days now without seeing someone in public smoking a cigarette.
Yeah.
Like it's almost a rarity now. Like, Christopher, when is the last time you saw somebody smoking a cigarette?
Just at the casino a lot.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. That is. Okay. I see more cigars than cigarettes at the casino.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
You just said a lie.
Oh, no. It's me. It's my eyes reporting this.
It's just, okay.
Okay. All right. The point is, whatever happened to the cigarette?
It is weird to long for cigarette smoking. I mean, I get it. The vape is not a great look either, but I think it's better. I think it's consensus better than cigarettes.
It is.
It doesn't look as cool, though. That's for sure.
Yeah. No, it looks dorky.
What do you mean? You don't like when the guy takes a big hit and like the billow of smoke just comes out? Like,
it's so ridiculous. It's such a weird habit. I want to do a shout out to Miami New Times, which is a great independent newspaper down here.
They must have put you in an article, or else we'd never be talking
about them. Right, they did. It's a self-aggrandizing shout out. Imagine that. They had a story headlined
"Top 10 Oldest Writers Still Alive."
No,
about 10 writers you wouldn't believe are still going.
We're saving that one for BuzzFeed.
Quit making me laugh. That would be a funny column. But no,
can you believe this guy's still writing?
Right, dead or alive, Greg Cody. No, the headline was 10 Best Miami Sports Stars on Cameo. And I actually made the list. And may I say something? It was a pretty sad list. I have to admit it.
Was Billy Gill on there?
He was not on there. No, I was the only one from the Levitard show on there. Udonis Haslam was on there. Jason Taylor.
That's not that sad.
What's sad about UD?
Well, because it went downhill from there.
That's the top of the list. Like, give me the good stuff. Let's go. Give me everyone.
Oh, God. I don't have the whole list in front of me, but one of them was the Cavender twins.
That's not sad. We're not at sad yet.
Okay. One of them was
Bernie Kosar.
Okay.
Miami Heat rookie Jaime Jaquez Jr. Okay. Dolphins long snapper Blake Ferguson.
Long snapping it. Yeah.
Udonis Haslam. Jason Taylor. Greg Cody. You're the only one that didn't have a picture. Wow.
No, really?
Tony Fiorentino.
How about that?
171 reviews. Wow, you have more reviews than Jason Taylor, more reviews than Udonis Haslam, more reviews. Wow, you have the most reviews of anyone on here. Actually, no, well, Bernie Kosar has more than you.
I also have all 5-star reviews, by the way.
Well, that now you probably don't anymore after this. But OJ McDuffie, Mario Chalmers. Yeah, I mean, okay. It's not that sad of a list, honestly. Yeah,
okay, all right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Tony Fiorentino and Bernie Kosar are the two ones that make it sad.
Do you still get requests regularly?
Who? Me?
Yeah.
I get like a couple a week.
Yeah?
Yeah, I get like a couple a week. And frankly, that's why I never tweeted out, hey, hit me up on Cameo. Because I don't want, you know, there's nothing worse for my stress level than, you know, having 8 Cameos piled up and they're all due in 14 hours and I don't have time to do them and blah, blah, blah.
So being on deadline?
Man, what a struggle it must be to go into your garage and say that kind of thing.
No, I give the people their money's worth. Believe me.
I like the idea of Greg being on deadline. That's funny. Like, it is also, you know, that's an interesting thing about the Hard Network Out. Your whole life for the last 50 years, you've been on deadline for something,
right?
For the paper.
Yeah.
But the Hard Network Out, that's a deadline and you never get it. You never meet it.
that's fair comment.
People hate that now. I've been getting a lot of negative comments about that.
Yeah.
It was used really well this week.
I thought. It was better. Like, I feel like we've been a little too ham-handed in recent weeks. And
it has to be natural. You know, if they're leading me into it, it's just, it doesn't hit the right note in my opinion.
Your opinion on this is just wrong because,
okay,
like,
fine.
You
have control over this whole thing. You could stop it.
I do.
Now, you know, that's interesting for me to say, someone who's never had to look at a clock and, you know get some words out, you know, on, I would probably get hit with it too.
It's such an easy win to just, because you often look up at the clock. And once you realize there's 6 or 7 or 5 seconds left, just say, you know what? Listen to the Greg Cody Show and find out the rest.
Oh, that's your challenge for this week.
Yeah, you're right.
There's so many easy ways to like transition and land it. And like, you just still walk into it every time.
I know. No, you're right. And the irony is that I am considered an exceptionally good deadline writer. Like, if I'm covering a game at night and it's 15 minutes to deadline and I haven't even really started my column yet because the game's going back and forth, I can write an entire column in 15 or 20 minutes if needed. So it is kind of weird that the Hard Network Out would be what I'm known for missing. But it is what it is. You know what I'm talking about?
I got to take a pee.
Again?
When did I go?
You took a pee in the middle of last week's podcast.
Oh, wow. That's true.
How about you take a leak before we start?
All right, I'll be right back.
Okay.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the sight, the sound, the smell of it. Morning, night, or noon. It's the feeling you're always welcome. And when you leave, we'll see you soon. It's the place you always go to. When you're with friends or you're all alone. It's the taste of Nelly's Diner.
Step back in time when you step into Nelly's Diner. It's the only place in town to taste Wild Bill Cody's Bison Burger, deep fried in Nana's 100-year-old lard. Or try a tall stack of our award-winning PFBI pancakes. Dig into the signature Thang-a-Thang salad. Or try an Uncle Dick footlong. Anything you want and anytime you want it, we got it. All served up with a free side of smiles. We are right where we've been for 60 years at 1440 Zagacki Street downtown. Nelly's Diner. It's the taste of home you never had because your mom sucked at cooking.
It's the taste of Nelly's Diner that makes you feel at home.
All right, I'm back from the bathroom, and I just thought the whole time about how I need to tell you guys about Sheets and Giggles. Yeti, this might be the best offer we've offered this audience to date. I'm hearing up to 50% off the entire site. It's the Labor Day sale. We are super excited about this. 50% off the entire site. And then with our promo code, which I don't like the promo code. We'll get into it in a second. Up an additional 20% off using our promo code, guys. This is the time right now. If you've thought about it, if you said, man, I really want some Sheets and Giggles, but maybe, you know, money was tight or something, this is the time to pounce. This is as cheap as you're going to get Sheets and Giggles stuff. My dad is now mimicking pouncing in the Zoom. Not helpful at all to the ad read. But go to sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo code laid off. I guess it's the anniversary of me getting laid off or...
No, November. You got laid off in November, but we'll get to that later.
Okay.
Finish the ad.
Laid off is the promo code. LAIDOFF. That's the promo code for an additional 20% off because the site is just 50% off site-wide.
Up to
50% off. You don't need any promo code for that. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo code laid off. This is the time to pounce, guys.
Pouncing it. Speaking of pounce, their mattresses were rated as having good bounce. Sex bounce, if you know what I'm saying.
And I believe with the percentages, before we were offering up to $400 off a mattress, I believe now you can get up to $500 off of a brand new mattress. Buy your aunt a mattress.
Sale ends September 5th. So jump now. Pounce now.
Everybody go. Everyone has an aunt. Everyone has an aunt. Go buy your aunt a mattress. You'll get up to $500 off. It's a damn good product. Back to you, Greg.
Wow. Everybody pounce.
You know, it's funny you should mention that because, let's all pounce together. Ready? One, two, three.
Pouncing it. Pouncing it.
Christy, you want to pounce with us?
No.
Nope.
Pouncing it. I would love to see Christy pounce. That would be funny.
My dad's requesting you pounce. And you know it,
baby. Okay. You know, you mentioned buying a mattress for your aunt for some reason, and it led me to recall that one of this week's dad jokes was submitted by Aunt Bonnie. I swear. Yeah, I swear.
All right, well, let's get to it.
But you want me to do the dad jokes now? Because I want to...
Go for it.
Yes.
No,
Dad. You're like, or should we save them for later? Because they're so, like, you know...
Because they're so good.
Just do the stupid jokes.
All right. I want to warn people. The one Aunt Bonnie submitted is the worst ever. It's just awful.
That's why by your standard.
Yeah, that's why I put it number three. All right, this is from the famous Aunt Bonnie.
First or third? So it's number one.
Third, because it's worst.
Okay.
Number three, from Aunt Bonnie. What do you call a frog that talks? A talking frog.
Wow. That's almost so bad it's good, though.
That's like...
Okay. Now wait, I'm curious on the backstory of this. Is she like aware?
That is so stupid.
Is she a listener of the pod?
Either that or Joe mentioned it to her or something. I don't know how it came up, but
gosh.
Out of the blue, you know, we Bonnie and I don't text back and forth all that often. You know, happy birthday, and other than that,
don't bring.
But
your
out of the blue, I get a text from her that says something like, "Here's a dumb little joke for your podcast or something," and. You know, a dad joke or something. And then she gives me that, which I just thought it was the worst thing I'd ever heard. But you guys actually thought it was okay, right?
It's terrible. It's terrible, but it's perfect.
It's because, but it's leaning right. into being bad. Like,
right. Okay. Yeah, it's a true dad joke then.
Before we move away, I'm not going to lie. As soon as you said Aunt Bonnie, I smell a waft of ham upstairs. Yeah. I think Jane's cooking bacon right now. But like, excellent. Yeah, like, it was weird.
Aunt Bonnie has that effect on anyone. Like anyone starts smelling ham when.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Number two. Why did the cat run away from the tree?
Because it barked.
I will give you half credit for that. The answer is it was afraid of the bark.
Afraid of the bark. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's pretty good. Okay. Number one, what do you call a cowboy who pursues a career in banking?
Go ahead.
The Lone Ranger.
That's good.
Lone. Okay. Yeah. All right. That's
good. Not bad,
it's
not, right?
It's not funny. I'm not smiling, but fine. Like, yes, okay. It's clever.
All right. Well, there are different definitions of that.
Do you prefer it when we answer them or when we're stifled?
I love how he was just stifled by that question.
I was.
It couldn't have been a more standard question from Yeti. And you looked at him like he just spoke Japanese.
I would say the biggest compliment for a dad joke is when you are stifled, when you can't even think of what the answer could be. You know, that's what I prefer. But that kind of thing.
All right. Should we get to Three Facts Morgan?
We can do that if you want. Sure.
There are three things that interest him. So sit right back for Three Facts
Morgan.
Wow, that was a familiar voice saying Morgan. I don't know who that was. Number three. These are
Roy.
Okay, Roy. This is Three Facts Morgan this week in honor of Morgan from Australia, who did such a great job as our World Cup correspondent the previous month. So these three facts are an ode to Australia, non-wombat division.
Wow.
That's right. Number three. Australia is home to 170 different species of snakes, including 21 of the 25 most venomous in the world. Yet because of the vast supplies of anti-venom, only 4 to 6 persons die there from snake bites every year, compared to some 50,000 snake-related deaths in India.
Wow.
Number two.
What do they just have, like little, like, in, like, the forest, like, little, like, stands where it's like...
It's like Tylenol. You just go buy it at the store. It's like, this is going to happen. There are so many deadly snakes here. You're going to get bit.
It's like when you go in the woods around, like in Montana, you have your bear spray. Here you have your venom pill.
I would think you carry it with you, honestly.
Wonder what it is per capita, because India has many, many, many more people than Australia. So
that's fair comment. Number two, with Australia surrounded by water, if you visited a different beach in Australia every day, it would take you 29 years and 3 months to visit all 10,685 Aussie beaches.
That's confusing to me though. Like one beach, is it just like, is it if like one stretch of 7 miles beach,
right?
Is that like 14 different beaches? Is it like technically if it never ends, it's the same beach?
Well, I guess public beaches probably. I don't know.
You know what I mean though?
I do know what you mean.
I don't like the idea of just there being a bunch of like lines in the sand where it's like, oh, this is a new beach. It's like, no, it's still the same beach.
Yeah, I think we're overthinking Three Facts Morgan number two.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. Okay. Number one, Australia's capital city, Canberra, means, quote, woman's cleavage in the Aboriginal language. Named that because the city is cradled between two mountains.
Oh, boy.
Also, in Canberra, it is legal to film and sell hardcore porn.
Okay.
It's an upset that Sydney's not the capital.
Yeah.
I was sort of surprised that Canberra, which I would have pronounced Canberry or something if I hadn't looked up how to pronounce it, was the capital. To me, that's not like Melbourne, Sydney. I would have named 4 Australian cities before I would have even gotten to
that. What are the other two?
I have no idea.
Go ahead, Melbourne, Sydney. Go do the other two.
Nah, I don't want to take a quiz. That kind of thing. You know what I'm talking about. I want to bring up superstitions for a second because...
All right. Thank you, Three Facts Morgan. Good job.
Yeah. Thank you, Morgan, for inspiring that. That was wonderful. And if I were to have a fourth Australian fact, it would be that as a callback to earlier in the episode, one of those 21 cities in the world named Miami includes a city named Miami in Australia, in the state of Queensland. So how about that? I've been trying to think of whether or not I had a superstition. I even asked your mother this because I consider myself to be the least superstitious person on earth. You know, I could see a black cat wearing a number 13 jersey stepping on sidewalk cracks and it wouldn't bother me.
Walking under a ladder.
Walking under a ladder. That's exactly right. What are you shaking your head like that? It's just, you're going like this.
You're like, oh, I'm trying to think of a bunch of superstitions that one thing could have.
Exactly. Thank you. So my only, and I don't know where a habit ends and a superstition begins. The only thing I have an idiosyncrasy about is that I always put on my left sock before my right sock and my left shoe before my right shoe. I don't know how it started. I don't know why it continues, but I do that to a fault. Like I never, ever, ever, ever put on my right sock or right shoe first. That's the only thing. Is that a superstition?
I'm not sure that's to a fault. I don't know why that was to a fault.
But yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's not superstitious. That's just the habit you've built. There is a difference between idiosyncrasies and superstition. Any belief or practice considered by non-practitioners to be irrational, it's usually attributed to fate or magic.
Oh.
And so,
sports. For me, superstitions are sports.
Like luck and stuff like that. Like stepping over the, make sure you don't step on the line, on the third baseline.
Like okay. if I had a big cup of Gatorade before my first at bat and I got a double, I'm going to have a big cup of Gatorade before every at bat. Like,
yeah.
Like in sports, if like I've bowled three strikes in a row and I haven't been talking to anybody in between, then I'm going to keep not talking to anybody. Like it's just like,
right, because that's attributing to the fate or the outcome.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I'm sensing, okay, I'm on a roll this way doing this. I've made a bunch of putts in a row and I haven't
JJ putts.
I haven't been taking my golf glove off for these putts, so I'm going to leave my golf glove on. Like I would say it's the only time in my life I'm superstitious. Like I don't do it with like work and like my daily life. Just sports, I would say, bring superstitions out of me.
Yeah.
How about you, Yeti?
Y'all heard that when I was a Braves fan and they were in the World Series, you know, like I didn't watch the games because when I did turn them on for 5 minutes, they started losing every time. And so there was always that. We'd always
watching sports for sure. I remember like I would always like the Marlins 03. I think Christy remember like the Heat Big Three. I would be like alone in my room with like my covers over my head with just like my face emerging. And I would be alone watching like the Heat games when my parents and Christy are out watching and I just couldn't be near anyone.
Oh, it was always the worst if the team, like if the Tar Heels were playing and mom would walk into the room and they'd start losing. Poor mom. We were so bad to her when it came to that. Get out! Yeah. Go
right,
leave!
Right. You know? Yeah. And I remember so getting mad at my mom. My mom would, like, my mom's the queen of, like, during a Dolphins game, just being like, ay!
Right.
Like, she, like, makes, like, a lot of sound effects. And I would, like, get mad at her whenever she would make, like, sound effects that were negative. Like, mom, stop panicking. Like, it's fine. They're going to make this stop on third down. It's fine.
I have to think about this a lot, though, like in my personal life, though, because I pray. I pray a lot. And I've caught myself just like kind of thoughtlessly praying. And I'm like, I don't ever want to pray out of superstition. I want it to be out of real belief. And so that's, you know, not to get too earnest with us on the show, but like that is probably the most common place where I actually think about superstition. Most of the time I don't think about it at all.
Yeah.
But that is the most common place. That, and then you go to sports.
Well, to me, the classic sports superstition is if somebody's got a no-hitter in the fifth inning or later, oh, you can't mention it. Oh my God.
I did the other day, I was bowling with Tommy and a couple of his friends, and one of his friends started a game with two straight strikes. And I was like, look at you, two in a row. And this guy's wife is like, man, if you did that to me, I'd be pissed.
Really?
I was just like, I feel like you got to get more than two strikes in before I can't talk about.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like that in bowling. If someone's got a perfect game going, like, you don't talk to them, you let them do their thing. And I did two. And it's not a good bowler. If it's a great bowler, two strikes in, maybe you leave him alone. But
yeah, because that's nothing for a great bowler.
Some crappy bowler getting two strikes in a row, don't you want to be celebrated? Like, hey, I just got two strikes in a row. Like, I felt like I was totally fine there. And then the guy went on to, like, open, like, five frames in a row. So I felt really bad.
And the wife gave you the evil eye at that point.
The wife she was like, look what you did. And I was like, hey, I'm sorry.
Did the bowling league start now? Is it all in?
It starts this Wednesday. That was the last week of practice, last Wednesday.
And by the way, for the record, if I get two strikes in a row to open a game, feel free to throw a parade for me, not just mention it.
Did we talk? Maybe we should bring back the injury report, because did we talk, Yeti, that my dad's already on the IL?
Oh, we didn't bring it up on this show. He did mention on Lebedard's show that he pulled a muscle.
Yeah, he's already he's missing the start of the season. He's on the IL.
Well, let me show you something I'm doing. Christopher always makes fun of me for doing nothing about my hamstring injury.
Did you buy the roller?
Yeah, hang on just a second.
Oh, wow. He bought a little thing to roll his hamstring muscle. This is good. We should get this on video.
I think he needs to show us rolling, though.
Yeah, no.
Hey, you got the foam roller. All right, can you show us how to use that?
A foam roller. Dad, lift up. I know it's going to be difficult. Maybe put your camera down a little bit, but we need you to get, I need your hamstring in the air, and I need you to roll this. Let's go.
On the ground, you mean?
No, just like, well,
however you can do it.
Pull your leg up and... A little lower. Show, as if you were trying to show us your crotch. Like, that's, I think that's the shot you need to set up.
Whoa, Greg.
Ow!
He just slipped a disc in his back.
Just cut himself.
All right, I'm literally gonna re-injure myself doing this bit for the camera. So, but at any rate, you want to talk about a scam? Okay, this is like a 2 foot length of foam. You know how much this costs at Dick's?
$45.
It's something like that.
No yeah. way.
Really? Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, I couldn't believe it. I thought it would be like, you know, $14.99 or something.
What'd you say to the clerk? Would I break a window?
Blood here. Unbelievable. Oh my God.
Greg Cody bleeding again.
God. Did you say to the clerk, what, I break a window?
I should have. I absolutely should have, because it was absolutely ridiculous. Okay, I want to get to Greg's Lobos. Okay, it's AMFFFT, America's most famous fantasy football
what?
Team. AMFFT. AMFFFT. AMFT.
You America's are so weird.
America's most famous fantasy football team.
How long did you think to take it? How long did you think out that joke?
Came right off the top of my head. Lobos, America's most famous fantasy football team. PFPI Fantasy is cranking back up. 2021 champions, 2022 runner-up. This is really bleeding.
Maybe, Dad, get a napkin, get a towel, and put pressure on it.
Hang on.
All right, Greg is back now. He's putting pressure. Hold it above your heart. I mean, geez, have you ever not had an injury before? I mean, come on.
You have to do the rest of the show with your hand in the air, Greg.
What's that? Yeah.
You have to do the rest of the show with your hand in the air. Okay. We don't need you bleeding out.
All right, continue.
Okay, where was I? I'm discombobulated.
We can't see your face.
Oh, yeah. All right, where was I? Whoa, shit. Hang on.
You were on Lobos.
Okay, where'd I leave off, though?
I don't remember.
The Lobos season's happening. You're very excited about it.
Well, I am, because we're a dynasty in the making. Champions 2 years ago, runners-up last year. And going strong into 2023, our PPR League Fantasy Draft is coming up this coming Sunday, September 3rd.
PPR? What's the point of saying that?
Yeah, because we are a league the way it was intended to be. Not a keeper, not an auction, not a dynasty, none of these crazy bells and whistles. We are the way fantasy football was intended to be.
We were a two-quarterback league last year.
Well, that's a little wrinkle, but it's still in keeping. But you know what? Our little secret is we throw a scouting combine every year.
No, you don't.
Where we invite the top 75 NFL stars to come to our, you know, to a combine. Now, none of them came this year. but nevertheless, we have a system of analysis that is second to none. It's why our drafts always kick ass, and it's why the Lobos are coming back strong this year. I'm going to guarantee it.
That's a funny bit of actually sending out invitations every year to a fantasy combine.
Didn't Hard Knocks get some footage this year of the combine that no one showed up to?
Oh, we have Hard Knocks coming back. The Hard Knocks, like, you know, we're tired of doing it, but they were like, hey, it's so popular that we want to do the Lobos for a third straight season. Because, like, usually the way Hard Knocks usually works is you move around to different teams to get different perspectives, but the Lobos fantasy team is just so popular that we are...
Well, it's AMFFFT, yeah.
What?
You know, that's not a bad...
no idea what he just said.
The AMFFFFT, America's most famous fantasy football team. That's our nickname. and maybe Hard Knocks should lead with... the scouting combine that we attempted to have, because that's a story, man. I can get into details about that.
The
but
producers
we'll say that.
Texted me like last week, and they said they've got stuff for it. So,
all right, cool.
Yeah, so we'll save that for next week. I want to get to one more thing before we close, and this is a little bit on the more serious side, because Yeti volunteered that he has some thoughts on, and Yeti, you monitor the comments and reviews and everything of the show more than we do. I want you to let us know. That's a $5 fine. You mentioned to me that give me the top three most common types of negative reviews.
I can already see where this is going. Chris is so mean to Greg.
I'm asking.
Chris needs to be nicer to Greg.
That's number one. Number two is Greg Cody is a treasure of some sort, and number three is I turn it off when Yeti speaks.
Okay.
Now there are very few all around, even the criticizing Chris, but percentage wise,
right?
Those are the most common ones.
Okay, I think this is important because it's important to a lot of our listeners. Yeti, I want your thoughts.
All 10 reviews that we've received this year. Yes, yes. But you got to keep that in perspective. Greg will hear one whisper and think it's everyone.
Yeah.
Now, one review does speak for more than just that one person. But no, so yeah, our number one thing is the way, Chris, that you get after your dad.
I want to let you finish, but yeah. I really do think that I think it rubs people the wrong way because, as I turn into my dad, because I am different on this show. It's like a different character than on the Lebitard show. I think on the Lebitard show, I'm more like fun and, you know, happy-go-lucky.
And Dan is the one goading your dad into things.
Right.
Yeah.
And I just, yeah. And my dad annoys me. I don't know what you... I get annoyed with my dad on the Lebitard show, too. But go ahead, Yeti. I don't want to...
Well, that's the thing, is that on the Lebitard show, you're not on mic as much either. You know, behind the scenes, it's probably about the same. Mm-hmm. And, I don't know that... You know, I've gotten to know you guys really, really well over the last 3.5 years. And I've seen the dynamic. And I think... When Greg, it's just mostly Chris and Greg just kind of going after each other. It's fun. It's just joking around. It's fun. And I think Greg has actually let us know on air when it's pushed a button. There might be a few times that he'll let us know via text. I hear about it, I'm pretty sure, every time that it gets to a level where Greg is like offended or hurt. And a lot of times we'll get back on the air the next week and talk about it. And Greg will be like, yeah, you're probably right.
Right.
And so, but like, my thing is like, that's the relationship I had with my dad, and it's like just joking on him. And I'm sure my son will have the same relationship, or my kids, they already have that relationship with me.
Right.
They,
and it can sound mean if isolated. It sounds mean, but in the context of an entire relationship, it's playful.
And you don't hear it as all. Greg gets after, like Greg will goad Chris. He just doesn't do it on air as much. Like, he was making fun of Chris's microphone set up earlier today. And that was funny.
My mic stinks this week. Sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, it's the same. And like, my dad is my best friend. And I mean, hell, he's been dead for 5 years and I still make fun of him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's half, when my siblings and I talk, that's half the fun, is just talking about like the goofy things he would do. Like that would be maybe somewhat embarrassing if we were capable of being embarrassed, but so they just become funny, you know? And so like, that's my take on the whole Chris Greg dynamic. And when Chris gets after Greg, there's been like maybe two times, and I can't even name them right now, 'cause I've forgotten about them, that where I thought, well, maybe that was a little much.
Yeah.
But for the most part.
Oh, for sure. It's probably more than that. I'm not saying I'm trying to be funny. I'm trying to be entertaining. I do genuinely get annoyed. So it's like a balance of, like, do I want to call that out or let it slide? And I probably go too far more than twice. I just, you know, it's hard to be on that perfect line. My dad knows I love him. We have a great relationship. And I don't, like, it really doesn't bother me, the comments about how I am with my dad. Because like you said, Yeti, my dad tells us when he feels like I've gone too far. And it's rare. And I think my dad knows our relationship better than anybody. So I don't really have any insecurities about that aspect because I know that we're good.
Yeah, so I can understand anyone who hears it and is like, ugh, I don't like this. So I'm hoping to provide some context. Like, this is just father and son, like, they're just back and forth, ribbing each other, having fun. It's like I said, I relate to it because it's the same thing I had with my dad.
Yeah.
I think what's important to say, and I hope this matters to the audience, including the people who would rather Chris lay off a little bit, is that I have no problem with it. With what we do on air or off air, because off air is pretty much the same. If Christopher and I are going out for breakfast at Marion's, it's the same dynamic between the two of us, you know, and we get on each other, and sometimes I'm a little sensitive and I'll yell at him for what he just said or whatever, but very rarely. And keep
you
in mind,
have seen how annoying this guy was eating sausage links the other day.
What?
I mean, it
this
was
is
so
the kind of thing
obnoxious.
He gets upset with.
He was like poking his fork barely into the sausage, cutting the smallest bite of sausage that you could possibly cut
on a diagonal.
And then like putting the teeth on, you heard the teeth on the fork. And there was like this loud noise. It's like there was way more contact with fork than there was sausage because the bite was so small that he was cutting of sausage.
My teeth hit the fork and it annoys my wife.
And he was leaning into it. He was like looking and like you'd only see the teeth.
It is interesting that you pay that much attention. I will say that. That's funny.
Take a bigger bite of sausage.
Now we're gonna get reviews. Oh, Yeti's trying to use his dead dad as a shield for the show. I'm like, yeah, well, he was a giant man. He's a big shield.
But that's a perfect example of the kind of thing that I do that annoy Christopher. It's so ridiculous to be upset by something like that. But
it's going to be great when he does this for Gracelyn. I mean, she's just like, right. Well, and it's going to be worse.
Gracelyn does it now with me. I do annoy Gracelyn with how I do things. Right, Gracelyn?
Okay.
This was a weird way to end the show.
Yeah.
I don't mind ending it on a somewhat serious note, although me cutting sausage funny, I guess, is not a serious note. But are we done with the show? I never keep an eye on the clock.
Yeah, we're hey, look, everybody, it's Suey Week this week. You know, if you happen to hear a song that was performed by, you know, Yeti Blanc and Greg Cody, you know, maybe
how about that?
Maybe give it some votes. We'd love
vote for the three of us in all the Sueys you can.
You can vote multiple times. You can.
Yep. Stuff the ballot box.
Let's get Yeti that morning. We want Morning Man, right? That's what we're going for.
I'll take anything, but that's the one, because that's me and Greg together.
Yeah. Greg Cody Knight is kind of a banger, though, Yeti.
It is. Look, I'd take it.
We want Morning Man to win. We do. We are endorsing that.
I want to win Limited Fake. Go vote for my either Stanley Cup, Mike, or my Orca.
Okay. The Orca. Suey Week.
Who's the voice of the Sueys? Who's announcing all the categories this year?
Some asshole.
Yeah, okay. All right, so
can't ever use his mic, right? Doesn't know how to plug in his headphones. Yeah.
Gosh. All right. All right, podcast family. Thanks, as always. Remember, when the Sueys begin, stuff the ballot box for Morning Man. I wish it was actually an old-school, old-timey ballot box that people could drop in a slip of paper with Morning Man written on it.
Most of the voters are in Florida, so be hanging chads.
That's right. Instead, you have to vote electronically. How does that work? Anyway, see you next week. That kind of thing and so forth. Love you all. Bye-bye.
I want to apologize for my microphone this week.
Oh, not for how you treat me, just for your microphone.
No. Okay. Exactly.
You guys have the same model of microphone.
Yeah, I'll be better next week. Zagaki.